welcome to the Global Product Management Talk. This is Cindy Faye Solomon, your host. Delighted to be with you today on January 8th, live out of Studio132.com in the Oakland Hills. Joining me in the studio today is Christy Kotcher, who's head of product management at Clear Street. The Global Product Management Talk is a discussion of vital issues affecting people who are passionate about product, forwarding product excellence. We talk about product management, product marketing, startups, innovation, methodology, agile, and everything else. We're a top business podcast in the Blog Talk Radio Network, and you can find us at blogtalkradio.com/prodmgmttalk. And that is our Twitter handle, at prodmgmttalk, our hashtag prodmgmttalk. And you can join us live on the discussion today. We're talking about women in product and challenges and opportunities faced by women in product management at high-tech companies. You're welcome to call in to join us at 323-927-2957. That's 323-927-2957 and participate on Twitter. And our six-time Emmy-winning engineer and musician, BZ Lewis, will screen your calls if you want to join us live. We're brought to you this week by Startup Product Academy, LLC, forwarding product excellence and product leaders with innovative approaches and immersive experiential learning opportunities, community, and events. Go to startupproduct.com, follow on Twitter at Startup Product, and there is an Intro to Agile class coming up in the San Francisco Bay Area on January 16th. Register today and use the code SUPA, SUPA, for $100 off. Also, Startup Product Summit on demand. Watch video of all the speakers and panel discussions from the October Startup Product Summit in San Francisco. Go to forward.tv, search for Startup Product Summit. Okay, also coming up in the San Francisco Bay Area are two great events having to do with women in product and women in technology, which we're talking about today, and looking like the year 2014 is all about women in technology. Coming up January 24th is She's Geeky in Mountain View. It's about a friendly place for women to geek out and talk about their jobs, their STEM passion, in a supportive, non-competitive environment. Network with other inspiring women working in STEM fields. January 24th to 26th, Mountain View, hosted by Microsoft Silicon Valley. Use the discount code STARTUP15 to receive 15% off. Go to shesgeeky.org to register today. Also coming up is Lesbians Who Tech Summit, the first one of its kind, happening in San Francisco on February 28th. It's the inaugural summit it is open to everyone who is interested in discussing women in technology, and the lineup of speakers is excellent, including Dave McClure, founder of 500 Startups, and a very rich line of women speakers. And we also have discounts for that. Go to startupproduct.com. Look under the calendar for upcoming events. Okay, I am Cindy Faye Solomon. I am delighted to be with you. There is an archive of over 100 discussions on the Product Management Talk Blog Talk Radio channel, which you can also find under broadcast at Startup Product. So today we're talking about challenges and opportunities faced by women in product management with Christy Kotcher, head of product management at ClearStreet. Christy is an experienced product manager who enjoys the challenges of developing quality software products. She has over 25 years of experience in the software industry in Silicon Valley, working with companies such as Electronic Arts, NetSchools, Oracle, Adecco, Informix, and IntelliCorp. She spoke recently at the Startup Product Summit that was in October, and she was on the first ever Women in Product panel discussion that occurred there. And as I said, those videos are available at Fora TV for on-demand viewing. And as well as the other people who were on that panel discussion have also spoken on the Global Product Management Talk, and you can listen to their podcast discussions. Also, one more shout out to the startup product communities. Very exciting about the startup product talks community in Oakland that's growing. We had a great event on Monday night where we played startup product games. Shout out to the women in product community in New York and the startup product community in Boston, as well as the other communities that are growing around the world. So, Women in technology is big news these days. Last month it was all about Twitter hiring, you know, the first woman for their board because there's no other woman on the board of directors. This week in the news was yet another big company. I think it was Facebook looking to add more women to their board. Last month in the Atlantic, there was a whole... I think it was last fall, might have been October, all of the research about how having more women in tech proves that businesses do better, companies do better when there's more women involved. And also if at the startupproduct.com website under research, I've collected all of the data and the research having to do with gender and venture capital decision-making and women in tech, because there is quite a bunch of research, and it has surprised me that this isn't known to everyone, that this research is not obvious to everyone. It's not new information as far as I'm concerned. So let me, let's see, what else do we have? Want to make sure I cover all of the context to bring people in who want to talk and to answer questions out on Twitter. Okay, Christy, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, why don't you, what haven't I covered or what do you want to add to just provide context for what we're going to talk about?
First of all, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for inviting me, and I'm thrilled at the work you do with Startup Product, and I think you're doing a great thing with the product talks. I've been really interested in talking about women in tech because as somebody who's been in the field for a long time, I've seen the field change and grow and more women entering the field, and it's exciting to see that. But I had envisioned things changing faster than they have been, and I'm trying to explore, you know, ways to accelerate change and get more women in tech and figure out why there aren't more women going into tech, and looking at the next generation or people, women, encouraging them and figuring out how they can enter the field and get going and embrace and be excited about being in the field. So I started working in the field. I graduated with a technical degree in 84, computer science, and I kind of got into product management through this. There wasn't a real plan or path to go into product management. I started out doing software development, and the product management field was evolving, and I that's where my interest led. I worked developing code and then just got gradually into more product management, and then getting more involved in strategic thinking and product marketing later on in my career. And I think that's how a lot of product managers get started.
I think that's so true today. There is no clear path. There is no advanced degree or even a focus that you can have in product management. I'm starting to see some specific courses, but not full degrees. There is one technical product management, but that's for manufacturing and engineering.
It's not really strategic business product management or how we think of it. But most of the stories of all the people I've talked about, they fell into product management, or they discovered they were thinking holistically where no one else in the organization was about the product throughout all their phases, and they saw what was missing, and they filled in the pieces, and then found, oh, what they were doing was called product management.
Yeah, it's an evolving field that maybe it's like computer science was, you know, in the late 70s, or there weren't a lot of formal education or degrees offered, but it's an emerging area that I hope more and more companies, and there's conferences like the ones you had in San Francisco that will define the role more clearly and provide more education. I don't think you have to have a technical degree or something to go into product management. You can go into it lots of different ways. But I think depending upon the nature of the product you're delivering and the size of your company and the complexity of your product, having a technical background may or may not be really important. So I think in some areas that holds women back from getting into, say, a technical product management role because they get such a small percentage of technical degrees still, even in the year 2014 or 13, you know, they are still not graduating in the numbers that men are receiving the degrees, which is surprising.
Which is surprising and frustrating. As, you know, we were just talking about how far back we go.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I like to say, okay, more than 15 years and just cut it there. But, you know, we really thought back then that by now it would not be an issue. Now, I'm glad that we're discussing it and it's getting visibility as an issue. We need more women. But it is frustrating, annoying, and you know, why are there not more women? How why has it not been a trajectory? It's gone backwards.
Yes. It has gone backwards, which I got my degree in computer science 84, and I was reading that in 1986, I think that was the peak year for women graduating with computer science degrees. And
in
there was
37%.
Yeah. And now it's down to 17 or 18%, which
it's insane. Right. And so 86 was the first company that I got funding for that I launched in New York City, which in retrospect was a high-tech company. At the time, I was using computers, but it wasn't, you know,
you
it wasn't
pioneer,
this idea
though.
Of a high-tech startup.
Right.
This is just the most efficient means to do this.
It was a tool.
It was totally a tool. And it still is. But, you know, also we, at the Startup Product Summit panel discussion, I was really surprised at the different perspectives of even the women, the five other women, when we were talking about this issue and how to bring more women in. The perspectives were very different. And we did have different generations, I think, represented
yes.
as well.
I think the younger ones, they're more optimistic, I think, about, okay, things are going to change more rapidly, whereas we have been around for a while and say, well, we thought by now things would have changed a lot more than they did. I don't know exactly why it's tech that seems to be lagging so much in getting women involved. You know, if I look at medicine, for example, when I grew up, my father was a doctor in the military. And we lived in places like Arkansas and Texas, and it was always, if there were events, it was doctors and wives. I mean, we didn't have female
right.
doctors. Which
right. They were nurses.
It's crazy.
Right.
And so now you see more than half of the students in med school are female, and that's great. And you see, for my children, I've always picked female pediatricians, you know, for my female children, and they're just, to them, it's normal that
there
are women doctors. So why hasn't the same thing happened in tech? What is different about the culture or the perceptions?
So going back to the beginning of microcomputers, all of the devices were complex. They were built by engineers for engineers. There was no narrative, there was no context. I mean, I even joke about that. How I know I'm talking to an engineer is if they start in the third paragraph of whatever topic we're talking about. There's no intro to what we're talking. There's no context setting. We're deep involved in the details, and that's how devices and all of computers that were available, that's how they were. There were no user manuals, or if they were, they were written for technical people. There was no, even though I remember some of the jargon was I got to pull out that file because I used to write a lot of stuff early on when word processing first became available on microcomputers, and they were these huge things and big printers.
They were very expensive, but there was
no understanding that there was a user who was going to have an experience different than what the people who built the product was.
There was no understanding of
what the user experience was. Mm-hmm. There was no UX at the time, mm-hmm. Either. It was all, hey, we can build these things. Isn't this cool? Now let's find a use for them. And that shifted. But that's not something that's attractive, I think, to women. It was attractive, I think, to me, because I like to play with things. I'm a hands-on person. I want to produce results. I want to touch things. And, you know, working with computers is always, it was a kinesthetic thing. Touch, feel, you see immediate results. So I was willing to delve in and learn programming. And I learned programming early in school. But that's not something that everyone was attracted to. And even I got into programming because I was in honors math. And even in honors math, there was one woman to five guys, you know, in my small public school community.
Well, I think it has to change at that level. Say at the school level, when your children are in school being educated, if they have courses or they introduce computers at a young age, or if I look at my youngest, who's 7, you know, she's very comfortable using her laptop. She has a iPad, she has her cell phone, and even, you know, she uses a cell phone and she feels comfortable with it. And now really that's a computer now that people are holding in their hand. And I think as, you know, women or everyone sees that just as a normal tool, you're holding your computer and you're downloading apps and you're not afraid of it. It's not something sitting.
Well, what a computer is now is become consumer. It's mm-hmm. no longer a complex thing only for, engineer. I mean, it's mm-hmm. totally shifted. And even my kids, none of them, you know, both their parents were technologists, but none of them have gone into, you know, much to my chagrin. I tried to push my daughters into it, but they were like, look, these are just devices we use to do art. You know, they're just vehicles. We don't care how they work or, you know, we just care that what we can produce with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I see a lot of girls, middle school, high school, who say, oh, programming, math, I can't do that.
I'm not good at that. So upsetting. It's like, why has that not changed? That is...
Yeah, what is the perception about it? I mean, if you say you can't do something or you're negative about your ability, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And it seems to be still socially or culturally accepted
for
girls to say that and say, I don't know math. I don't know how to do that. Well, what do you mean you don't know how to do that? Of course you can do it. You just have to apply yourself. And there's no reason why it's a male.
Well, I think it's also... It's discussed. The languaging around it is very male. Who we see in the media that are, that are geeks are very male. And so that is not attractive. You know, they did studies about the physical environments where developers work. They're not female friendly necessarily.
Correct.
Now, for me, I was a geek, so I was okay with having, you know, Star Wars things and even if there were posters that were offensive, you know,
It was
at
accepted
the time
back
for
then.
Me, right, at the time, it didn't occur to me that this is something I should speak out about. Well, certainly it didn't occur to me that I need to have being a woman in technology as a platform. I was just doing my job. I was just interested in my career. I knew I was a woman, you know, but it was just a given that it's mostly men involved in what, you know, interested in what I'm interested in. But certain things were accepted and didn't even occur to me, like offensive posters in the workplace. If it did occur to me, I would suck it up because, you know, I'm creating waves in other ways. I don't also want to make this an issue.
Right. And back then, it was just more accepted that
right.
the culture
just,
was...
You looked the other way. It's kind of like that heinous thing of boys will be boys.
Yeah.
And so one good thing that I hear from younger women in technology is they don't accept that. Mm-hmm. They do not take that for granted. They will not look the other way. So things that I find innocuous when I'm asking other women, well, you know, what's been your experience? And they'll mention men's behavior that to me doesn't even register as offensive. So the bar has been raised for women in the workplace. I'm not sure if it's specific. I mean, these women are, you know, working in Silicon Valley tech companies.
And there are more and more young women entering, and there are more and more role models. I mean, back when we were starting, there just weren't that many role models of looking to women in tech. And now there's more and more. I see things like, you know, the Girl Geek dinners or a lot of Women 2.0.
Right, the She's Geeky. Right.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of Rails Bridge. There's actually a big community in the Bay Area for women who code.
So those are excellent and really supportive,
because
when I started, you know, you felt like, okay, if you're one out of 20, you're the only female in the room, you feel very isolated. You know, at different times, your coworkers might be supportive and great, but at some point, there's something that happens where you are saying, okay, I'm different. They have some joke that they're making, or they all go out and you're...
Right. Well, I never played basketball. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I did not, and there was stuff that was going on outside, after lunch on the basketball, and it never even occurred to me, like, oh, I should just go out and cheer.
Yeah.
but that was offensive to me.
But you do get this sense where they talk about the imposter syndrome.
Right.
Or you think, well, wait, I don't belong here. At some point you go to these meetings. I remember working a lot as a consultant, and say I'd be traveling to Europe, and they'd say, well, where is, you know, the German pronunciation of my name? Like, where is Herr Doctor or Herr Diplom Ingenieur Kocher? I said, well, that's me.
Right.
Well, no, wait, where is he?
Right.
Well, that's me.
Right.
And you think, well, maybe if I'm the only female, maybe I shouldn't be here. But you realize later, okay, I'm here because somebody hired me because they had confidence in me, and I'm here because I have experience, and you get over it eventually. But I think for a lot of women, that's still an issue, because I think a lot of, especially development teams, are still maybe 10 or 20% female. So it's still
development teams are 10 or 20%. That's high. You know, I thought it was more like 2 to 5%.
Well, yeah. I'd say in a room of 10 engineers, maybe there's one.
Right.
So, yeah. It, depending on the type of company, I think. The larger companies, I think, tend to have more higher percentage of women than the startups.
And the other experience I would have at tech events is it was assumed that because I was a woman there, I was in marketing.
Yeah.
I was on the soft side of things. Now, since, you know, I realized I was a product manager, really when I came out to Silicon Valley and got involved with web development, and I saw, you know, the web, the World Wide Web, is totally a marketing vehicle. And that was early on. That was when it would take, you know, an hour to download a huge JPEG. Because you were on a dial-up.
Oh, yeah, I remember the dial-up days.
So then I would find that at marketing or sales events, I was considered very technical. at technical events, I was considered marketing or sales.
Right.
Which,
yeah, I had a number of people that said, "Oh, what are you marketing? Oh, wait, you must be sales. No, you're technical. Wait, you're product manager. What?"
Right. What's a product manager?
Well, that's right. The other question.
That's the other big issue. Right.
This field evolving and changing, say with the web and then with agile, has really changed the role a lot. And we were talking about how, say, product managers with agile, a lot of them have shifted to thinking, oh, well, I'm a product owner, and going away from some of this.
Right. So we really have to discuss definitions. And I'm really seeing that product management is a business function, and so that's separate from the being a product manager. So
right.
Product management, you know, whether there's a department or a titled person or a focus on product management, any company that has a product, there's product management happening. It may not be on purpose or efficient or intentional, but that product's being managed. Now, if it was intentional and focused, how much better could the success trajectory be?
Yes, and as there's more and more education,
I
think what you're doing is great, or say the book on the product management and marketing, the book that puts together all the knowledge from the different product management.
Okay, you brought it up, so I just have to... Christy's referring to the Guide to the Product Management and Marketing Body of Knowledge. That's a ProdBoc, and it's 300-plus pages of what is product management, which was a combination of 3 years and over 60 contributors to put this together, funded by the AIPMM, the Association of International Product Marketing and Management. And by the way, you can go to startupproduct.com, go under store, and you can purchase it. There's a whole section of books where I've curated product management books, and if you purchase from the site, you're making a contribution to the movement for product excellence, so please do that. So yeah, so this is all about what is product management. There's been other books out there, like Stephen Haynes, The Product Manager's Desk Reference. He actually was the first speaker before we started broadcasting. But all of the other books are from a one person's perspective on
right.
what product management is. And there's experts and practitioners, and it's all valuable. But this is the first book that has a culmination of over 60 people in the field's perspectives.
A collaboration.
Yeah.
To give it over. So I think it's great. The more we have for information like this, especially for people getting into the field or trying to figure out how to do better manage things, products in their companies, it's great that you're doing this work.
Yeah, so one of the difficulties, and I think, if we go deeper into what does it mean to be a woman in product management, is product management is defined uniquely in not only every vertical industry, but every organization.
Mm-hmm.
And the other issue is how the job descriptions are written defines not only certain, product, it defines positions that no human can do.
Right, and you have to wear so many different hats and
right.
be involved at so many different levels that it's, I was reading somehow that Agile has complicated and increased the role
right.
of product management so much. And
'cause Agile takes a view of product management from a developer's perspective. Agile is all about the build, mostly a software build, but now it's expanding into other areas, but it's about building the product. Which that is very valuable, but in order for that product to, they're really about build it and they will come, and product management is how do we get that product into the marketplace? How do we position it? Who else is out there? What is the value
criteria?
To the users?
Yeah.
Who are the users? What
yeah.
is the market? How do we describe it? How do we position it? How do we get out in front of the product for where it's going? Who should we be partnering with ahead of time? What's the ecosystem for this product? Should there be a platform? What are the APIs? Everything else that goes above and beyond the build. The build is essential, but it's one of the pieces that a product manager needs to be involved with. Product owners are specifically involved with the Agile team and the Agile build. Ideally, there would be a product manager who's seen as a strategic position and a product owner who is the tactical liaison to the Agile team.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that, actually. I think there has been a divergence of, say, the product owner is almost like a project manager, and, you know, it's that product owner is aligned a lot more with the development team, but there needs to be an overall product manager strategic direction provided. So I think Agile has changed it a lot in that way. So I also wanted to talk about, though, we were talking about women in tech, getting into tech, and how the younger generation, we feel, sees things differently. And I think they're more, they're more optimistic, and they are just entering the field, and they see that it's used everywhere, and they're going to be making big contributions to this field. But also, I'm still reading during the mid-career phase in tech, a lot of women drop out of the, you know, still 52% of the women are leaving. So what?
Where are they going? Are they going to start their own companies? I see that.
Yes.
A big percentage of that in San Francisco. And I think that's ideal for a CEO or a founder to have a product management background. I think that's great. Certainly, they also need general management and business acumen as well. But it really helps to embed a product management or product focused culture to forward the success of the product.
Yes, I think so. I think they're leaving, say, mid-career to start their own business or do something maybe part-time, or, you know, there's still this perception that women are leaving mid-career because they have families, and it's still that burden is still falling.
Right.
You know, that's what really needs to change, I think,
is
that Sheryl Sandberg has it right when she says one of the most important career decisions you make is, you know, the partner, who you marry, or
who
your
you
partner.
Marry. Right. It was a strategic decision.
I
have a story about how I met my husband. I actually did some market segmentation and for who the type of man I was looking for.
Oh. You were smart about it. Yeah.
Well, of course, he would be a technical, you know, he'd be a developer. And I actually just saw a TED talk of someone who did a whole data analysis about how to find the right partner. It was really
true. that's a very important point, though. It's like you need to think about.
You need to be strategic.
You need to be strategic about your partner's decision.
Right. And the point is, you know, that's part of this emerging conversation, is that product management can be a long career. I think it requires continuous learning and continuously retooling if you want to stay in high tech. It may, you know, it's very competitive here in the San Francisco Bay Area. There may be more opportunities for a long career outside, but there's no expectation that you're going to stay with the same company throughout your career. And that I saw from the very beginning as a woman in tech, that, you know, in order to advance, I had to move on.
I think you're expected to move
on. Right, product managers are.
Yeah, there was a conference I was at recently, and they said, okay, show of hands, how many of you, this is a product manager conference, how many of you have changed jobs within the past 2 years? You know, almost everybody raised their hand, and they said, well, that's good. That means you're doing your job.
Right, because if you're, as a product manager, if you stay with the same company, that means there's no reorging, there's no iterating of the product, there's no, you're going to get reorged out, or you're going to, you know, disagree, or there's going to be new management that comes in, and, you know, new product portfolio. I mean, in an ideal world, you could keep growing within the organization, but...
Yeah, I just think that's not how it works anymore.
I don't think
And so your job is to, you know, you have to... It's almost like you're self-employed, because even if you're working at a company, you have to keep your skills honed and expect to move on.
This is true for developers too. There's a lot of people in the Valley who came and many years ago, if you were smart and had any kind of technical degree or ability to learn quick, you could get a job in high tech.
Yes.
And that's not so true anymore. And you mentioned that earlier that you didn't think it was necessary to have a technical background to be an effective product manager. But if you look at the job descriptions, they're always looking for people, especially here, with CS degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, will a CS degree make you a better product manager? Well, it certainly depends on the product.
Yeah.
But having product management experience or being mentored in a product management organization, I think, is the best background to forward your career. And that, how do you get that?
Well, you get it by working with other people, learning from organizations like yours, or studying.
Often, you know, product managers will be the only product manager in their organization. And so they're used to having to be a maverick, having to work alone, and having to constantly go up against engineering and, you know, all of the other pressures for where the, you know, sales, where the other people want the product to go.
It's still a pioneer. You're kind of a pioneer within your company, and you have to be able to interact with the CEO, the head of sales, the head of engineering, and wear a lot of different hats. So, and you're correct in that you have to figure it out, I think, as you're doing your job. You're learning as you go, and you're getting experience doing it by doing. So there's not a clear path to getting
it's
awesome.
Not a clear path in, and that's one of the things that Startup Product Academy is addressing by building bridges in, building communities for people involved with product, passionate about product, and who want to forward their career. So now we're developing courses taught by product managers, taught by product people, and going very deep into product management fundamentals and case studies, and developing this apprenticeship program where companies will provide a product management deliverable for the students to work on, deliver back into that company, and then get understanding of a real live case study, and as well as adding to their portfolio, I worked on this project.
That seems like a win-win both ways.
Yeah.
Very beneficial to both
for
sides.
The companies, and
they're learning
beneficial
in a real
to
world.
The students. So if, by the way, you're listening to the Global Product Management Talk, this is Cindy Faye Solomon. I'm talking with Christy Kotcher, who is Head of Product Management at Clear Street. And shout out to our Twitter participants, Casey Markham. Thanks for asking about the Prod Bach. Maria Hefferman, Bruce Gayo, Brandon Satram, Gillian Klaus. Thanks to the tweeters out there. Feel free to continue to ask questions. And this podcast, Ty Halleck, will be available on demand following. So coming back in, we had a list of 16 questions, which I am tweeting out. So probably the rich discussion on Twitter will happen after the fact. And in any one of these discussions, we could spend the whole hour talking about. So, you know, what are the main barriers to entry, do you think, for women product managers in high tech?
I think there's cultural and misconceptions, so that's one of the main barriers. And I've talked to younger women. I have a daughter in college, and her perception was, well, computers and tech, that's, I don't know, that's just not for women. That's, you know, it's not for me. I'm going to study psychology, or I'm going to, and I said, well, but so I think a lot of it's cultural, still perceptions, and also going out and getting education. Like you talked about, you know, it's a lot of the product management job descriptions saying they need a CS degree. That's a big investment to go out and get a CS degree, or to go out and study and get your technical degree. And if women aren't going out and doing that, that's a significant barrier. So
you know, I just want to say that probably even computer programming isn't presented in a accessible way. And I see programming like writing music. If you know how to read music, it's beautiful, it's symmetrical, it's, basically the notes on paper are the code that when played produces this beautiful result. And I don't think that programming is presented that way, that this is code that when played produces incredible results that contribute to people, and you can...
it's not presented as a beautiful art.
No, and it is an art form because it is totally creative. It does require that, that side of the brain, the math side, but it is very creative and totally subjective, because one person writing code is going to write very different than another person writing code. And that's why I'm excited about new kinds of programming methodologies, where people are doing, extreme programming, which is paired programming, two people sitting together in front of one console. And now I'm very excited about mob programming, where it's five people collaborating in front of one computer to write code, and every hour they're shipping it.
Yeah. That's
and I just see the potential, wow, if everything that needed to be content development, everything that was deliverable, if you could collaborate with five people, so all the stakeholders are hitting on it at once rather than going through a first draft and then revisions and a second draft, and it all is done live, and then you push it out, then it's complete. That's very exciting to me.
That is exciting. And you're correct, it is an art form. And
it is an art form. It's a creative art form.
But I think a lot of people don't see it that way. They might think it's somebody just writing lines of codes in a sequential...
Right. And that goes back almost to the history of Silicon Valley and turning this into, we're manufacturing code. Mm-hmm. So it's people who are not thinking creatively, sitting in front of computers, doing mundane, repetitive, rote things, which is not
maybe
what...
that's the problem, the perception.
Or
I've heard some women say, well, I don't want to just sit in front of a computer all day.
Right. You don't want to sit in front of the computer. Well, if you're on an agile team, well, certainly if you're doing extreme programming, you're not sitting in front of a computer all day. And that's the thing, the beauty of product management also, that you're mostly in meetings or you're interacting with people, because you're responsible for producing presentations, or you're really responsible for communicating and educating about where the product is and where it needs to go.
You're communicating with all different types of people.
Yes.
And that's probably one of the most crucial skills of a good product manager, being able to commute with a lot of people, different levels, prioritizing ruthlessly, and being able to convince people of what they need to do to make the product successful. So that is definitely not just sitting in front of a computer all day and writing
code. And you have to be out in the field. You have to be talking to the users. And I say you need to be talking to the competitors' users and the non-users, because that's where you're going to get, or the people who used to use the product and no longer do. They'll give you the best feedback.
Why
are they not using it anymore? Or why are they not expanding their use of it?
That ability to go out and interview, talk to people, not be afraid to go out and meet new people and get their points of view and figure out how that fits into your overall strategy. That's something that, I would think would be exciting to a lot of people. You're going to create this product that's going to be used, by maybe millions of people, and you can make a big impact in their life.
Make
and it's
a big
really,
impact.
It's
right.
a really exciting field to be in. And I think for women, for anyone, but especially women who are underrepresented, if they think about the impact they can make and the fact that this is also something that, it's a skill that's transferable. You can move into different companies, different types of products, and you create things that are used by so many people in changing lives. It's a very exciting, interesting field. So I think for women, if they look at it that way, instead of saying, oh, well, wait, I'm just sitting in front of a computer all day and this is something for men, I mean, the perceptions need to change. And maybe education about what that role is or what it is to be a product manager in tech, if the perceptions change and to be more accurately reflect what a product manager does, there's more education, maybe more women will want to enter that field. So I think culturally things need to change just in terms of females thinking more positively about their abilities to be in tech. And then once they're in tech, also to say, okay, wait, my contribution is valuable. I'm not afraid to raise my hand and say, this is how I think it should be. It's a contrary viewpoint, and this is why I think it needs to be this way. And, you know, be able to be out there and argue your viewpoint with everyone.
You know, and you mentioned earlier the imposter syndrome, and this is when people, you know, think that they're not good enough to hold the title or the position or the place that they hold. And so I spoke at Lean Camp last month, and a woman got up, and it's an unconference discussing mm-hmm. lean development methodology and lean approaches. And a woman got up and said, hey, I want to have a discussion of women in technology and open to men. And so we had a lean coffee discussion, and there were five women and five men that showed up for this discussion. It was very interesting to me to hear the men's perspectives. So usually I've only had these discussions with women.
Yeah, that is
so.
Yeah,
it was great that men showed up, and I was very proud of her for standing up and raising uh-huh. that as a topic of discussion. And the men felt like there's plenty of women in technology. Look at Marissa Meyer.
Yeah.
Look at Sheryl Sandberg. How many more women do you need?
You know? Yeah, there's
like two.
Exactly.
Let's see, can we come up with 10?
You know? Exactly. Or I was reading, there's some article about, well, who is the Silicon Valley it girl? You know, there's one.
It's like, you know, even to put it in that term.
Right, it's so demeaning.
It's demeaning, yes. Exactly. You know, who's the token woman that we can point to? I mean, it's demeaning to men on the same account that, you know, we have token geek idols, you know,
uh-huh.
Because they're the outliers, really. Not everyone should want to be a Steve Jobs. This was not a model of a good human being. I'd like to have models.
I saw the Steve Jobs movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to have. Well, I worked at Apple.
Yeah.
You know, I know people that went into recovery after working or being abused.
Uh-huh.
You know, by Mr. Jobs. But you know, look, the person is different than the product.
Uh-huh.
You know, we know the artists. Do not, you know, Picasso, all these artists, none of them were good human beings that we want as role models.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we should shift that also,
mm-hmm.
that products really are a reflection of someone's vision. Well, let's promote women's visions.
All right, well, it's interesting what you say about there were five men and they said there's plenty of women.
Yeah,
you
they
know,
didn't
had,
see.
You know, it's like when I was looking at statistics again, you know, like CIOs, 12% women, or you know, how many CEOs of companies are women in tech? And it's there might be more than there were 20 years ago, but we've still got a long way to go.
Yeah, and actually, one of the guys said, "Look, I'm totally pro women. You know, I was raised by a single mother. I have all sisters. I don't see there being a problem with not enough women in tech. There's lots of women in tech." And I said, "Interesting." You know, it's not an issue. It's almost like the majority cannot see the minority's pains.
Yeah. Well, they. Well, also we were talking about, say, the mid-career level, say women, and so that's when people are starting their families, and I see that they're still culturally, you know, it's a male influenced culture. A lot of companies, if you leave at 5 o'clock or you leave in the middle of the day to go to a parent teacher conference,
right.
or
you're not committed.
And I still at the school, you know, I've been at the same, my kids have gone to the same grade school now for, I think we started there in 95 or 96, but still when I go to, you know, say parent teacher conference in the middle of the day, I see it's mostly the mothers, and they might be doctors or lawyers, they might be a head of a tech company, and a lot of it's still the mother. So I think that there needs to be a shift in thinking there, because that's a lot of balls for somebody to juggle, you know, having their career and then having children that they're juggling those balls. And so I think
Yeah. My son was just saying, Mom, you know, you're a great cook, but you didn't teach any of us how to cook. We don't know how to cook. And I'm like, you're right, because when was I home cooking? Yeah. You know, when I was
you were working
you came to work to the cafeteria to have lunch. Or we went out to eat all the time because my husband was working. We were working in startups, and the kids learned how to cook by watching TV, by watching Food Channel.
Now there's YouTube, so everybody.
Right.
Yeah. But if you have two career couples, you're gonna. Yeah, if you have somebody who's helping you, and you're both partners, then it works. But it's
yeah. And the other thing that I just wanted to mention that's changed is the ability to be a whole person in the workplace. Now, years ago, starting out, you know, you had your professional persona. And, you know, you played this, there was an executive women persona.
And you weren't allowed to have.
And you put on your business suit, you know, your woman in the office career. And there was a way, you know, it was kind of a limited role. You didn't talk, if you wanted to advance, you didn't talk about your children. Mm-hmm. You certainly don't be pregnant unless you really want to kill your career.
Yes.
And, you know, play by the men's rules, you know, become a man or better them at their games. And that has changed, I think, for the better.
That's
because
a very
everyone
positive
Everyone is more
change.
Human, more holistic, you know, just more not compartmentalizing themselves in order to be in to do their job. I see that changing for
the
better.
Yeah, I think that has changed a lot. You don't have to hide the fact that, okay, yeah, I have a family and there's commitments and
you can
not
see
it's
like I had lunch at Twitter recently, and there's people with their kids. Mm-hmm. At the course, you know, companies like Twitter and Facebook and Google, they don't want you to ever leave. So they want you to
on-site child care.
Right, on-site child care,
like,
and
things that just didn't exist.
Right, didn't
so
exist
long ago.
Before. So in some ways that's better.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways I think it's a little bit dangerous to make work so attractive that you won't ever leave.
You stay there and they deliver your lunch and your
right.
dinner and
right.
your whole social life and your whole world is where you work.
But definitely that there's paternity leave built mm-hmm. in is excellent. And so we are coming to the end of the hour. You're listening to the Global Product Management Talk. What key things do we want to make sure? What key points do you want to make sure to cover in our last moments?
Well, I want to encourage people or women specifically to think about themselves as able and very more competent and, I guess, have more confidence in their ability to go out in the tech world and be big thinkers and make change happen and be able to work and embrace technology and move product development forward. So I guess what I'd like to have happen is women to see themselves as equal and able to culturally not think of it just as a male profession, you know, product management. So I would encourage young women to go out and get education that would enable them to go and compete and work in a tech field because it's an exciting field that gives them lots of opportunities for exciting jobs and in a lot of different areas. So I guess I just favor women attending conferences, networking together, looking for mentors, and I see more and more of these opportunities, which is a very positive thing. So look for mentors, look for other women who've worked in the field and talk to them and say, you know, how did you get into this field? What can I do to better my chances of success? And what things did you do that you could learn from that you could help me with? So I guess talking to leaders or other women working in the field, going to get education and seeing it for what it is. It's not just sitting there in the office working in front of a computer all day. You're also interacting with people. You're interacting with a lot of different people from different departments, different companies, different users, and wearing a lot of different hats. And it's an exciting field that
I think the other thing is it'll benefit all of us if we can turn these things into gender neutral.
Yes.
To just take the gender out of it. It, you know, do products have to be, are there female products or no, the products for everyone. Everyone's using these and, you know, the more varied, the more diversity there is in developing and visioning these products and bringing them to market, everyone wins.
Yeah, it's been proven that the more diverse, you have a more diverse company, a more diverse team building things, you build better products. So you have, you know, not just gender, but ethnic or different cultures, you're building better products that can be used by a wider range of people. And I agree with you, I don't think products should say, okay, this is a female product. You want to reach all types of people, so take the gender out of the whole discussion when you're designing your product. So.
And then I think we're fortunate also, as much as there's challenges here, there's also opportunities more so in the rest of the world. I was listening to NPR on the way over to the studio talking about, gosh, all the difficulties for women there and for, you know, people of different persuasions and how fortunate we are not only to be in the United States but to be in the Bay Area. It's very diverse here.
Yes, that's one of the things I love about the Bay Area.
But we shouldn't forget that this is also a bubble.
Yes, so sometimes when you get out of the Bay Area and say, wait.
You get, right, I go back to the East Coast and I go, where is everybody familiar, you know, looking?
Yeah, so we have a diverse workforce and we have a lot of, yeah, I think that's a great thing. A lot of you go to tech companies and you see a lot of diversity, whereas you might go in the rest of the United States and it's more homogenous. So I definitely think when I'm working with a diverse team, working on product development, you get a lot of different viewpoints, which encourages a lot of interesting, better discussion, a lot of new user stories or perceptions about how the user will use things that make it a more complete and better product.
Excellent. And I'm just monitoring the tweets, and I see a picture of there's Impact Hub in Berkeley. It's a co-working space, and there's a picture of a woman working at her computer. That was the first picture they posted. Thank you, Nate, for doing that. So, excellent. Well, we certainly covered a lot of points, and I failed to mention that you can get in touch with Christy on Twitter at Christy_Kocher. That's KRISTY_KOCHER. And if you just follow up on the content on Startup Product, her LinkedIn and other information is available to connect with her. And just real quick, she works at Clear Street. I just wanted to mention Clear Street helps people turn good intentions into saving practices, leading to substantial cash reserves. Very excited about your company and look forward to hearing more about it. And would love to have you talk at a startup product meetup in person discussion.
That would be great.
Yes. Yeah. All these opportunities. So thank you so much. You've been listening to the Global Product Management Talk. We've been discussing women in product today with Christy Kocher, who's head of product management at Clear Street. We have been broadcasting live from studio132.com. Please follow us at PRODMGMTTALK and search for Prod Management Talk. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher. We're a top 10 podcast on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Sponsorship opportunities are available to reach our audience of over 30,000 listeners per episode. Get in touch with me, Cindy, at startupproduct.com to contribute to our community and get your product known and used more fully. So thank you. Join us next week there is a schedule of broadcasts on startupproduct.com. Coming up quickly. All right, so you have to go to startupproduct.com, look under broadcast for broadcast news, and it will be there. I'm sorry. I will. Ah, here it is. Woody Zhu, who is discussing mob programming, which I'm very excited about. And he's the thought leader. Llewellyn Falco was on a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned it, and I jumped all over it. So Woody's coming up from L.A., and he'll be on the show next week. So the whole archive is available at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. Thanks to our tweeters, thanks to the community, and have a great week.
Lost to a thief on a dry winter leaf. I wouldn't know love if